And so on this Mother's Day, we are continuing our priority series. It's about being Pentecostal people. We're going to examine this morning tongues as a prayer language. Now already, as soon as you hear that word tongues, something happens in us. We get apprehensive, we get worried. What's going to happen? Is something going to happen in our midst today? There is nothing to fear because our God is a God of peace. He's a God of order. He's a God who wants to show himself in our lives and reveal himself in our lives through the power of the Holy Spirit. So this morning, we're going to read some select portions of scripture from 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And the next week, we're going to return to the same chapter and we're going to deal with some of the outstanding verses that we didn't talk about today in regards to the spiritual gift of tongues and the need for the gift of interpretation for corporate edification in order to encourage everyone that gathers. Our scripture this morning comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 1 to 4 and 14 to 19. I'm going to invite you to stand in honor of the reading of God's word. The scripture will be on the screen behind me, and we have the tradition here of reading together in one voice. So would you read the scripture along with me? Follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people, but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves. But the one who prophesies edifies the church. Skipping down to verse 14. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. So what shall I do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my understanding. I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my understanding. Otherwise, when you are praising God in the Spirit, how can someone else who is now put in the position of an inquirer say amen to your thanksgiving, since they do not know what you are saying? You are giving thanks well enough, but no one else is edified. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. But in the church, I would rather speak 5 intelligible words to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And Father, today we are praying for clarity. We want to carefully understand what the word of God says. Father, today I pray that you dispel all doubt in our minds, that you'd help us to understand the work and the power of the Holy Spirit, how it's so available for us today. Let us, like last week, never stop seeking. Let us continue to seek after the things of the Spirit. Let us have ears to hear and eyes to see, oh God. So Father, today I pray that you speak to our hearts, bring us clarity, and Father, empower us. Empower us to pray. I pray that we'd have powerful prayer lives in this place. So, Father, we ask for your blessing today. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone said, amen. You may be seated. In every congregation, it doesn't matter where you go in the world, there are two types of Christians. The first is this, intellectual Christians. And the second, experiential Christians. One is disposed to knowing or explaining the Holy Spirit and the power of the Spirit. And the other is disposed to feeling or experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit. My job as your pastor today is to lead you down both paths. Not just one path, not just the other path, but both paths. And the topic we're studying today makes intellectual Christians feel a little bit uncomfortable. And it makes experiential Christians a little bit excited. See, all Christians, intellectual or experiential, their experiences must be measured against the standard of the Bible. So we need to look into what the Bible says about this topic. See, there's a lot of opinions out there. There's a lot of experiences out there. There's a lot of schools of thought out there. But I want you to be confident today in what the Bible says. The Holy Spirit is available for you and I. The Holy Spirit, there is the baptism of the Holy Spirit that we examined last week. And today we can cultivate this prayer language of praying in tongues. I'm confident that there is much misinterpretation in our churches. Many denominations have discouraged, even banned their members from pursuing the benefits of the Spirit in their life. Pentecostals have been publicly scorned. They have been publicly mocked by fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, both inside and outside the Christian circles and different churches. And today I make no apology for what the Bible says about tongues. I make no apology whatsoever. We are Pentecostal, and this is what we believe. I believe God said it. I believe it. I hope you believe it too. And that should settle it for us. If you're true to the scriptures, the Apostle Paul has been compiling a case in 1 Corinthians 12 all the way to 14 in support of what gifts of the Holy Spirit are most beneficial for the body of Christ. What is of most benefit for us? But then what is also of most benefit for us as individual believers? And with great persuasion, Paul is wonderful at constructing arguments. Paul elevates the benefits of the gift of prophecy over the gift of tongues without interpretation. He's absolutely right. I 100% agree with him. And the problem is that our misinterpretation of his presentation causes us to have this polarized view where we see prophecy as a positive and then we see tongues as a negative. Friends, that should not be the case with us. As a result, many have rejected the idea, the concept of speaking or even praying in tongues. And I'm calling that back into our lives today. So whenever we read the Bible, we need to remember that context is critical to our interpretation of the Bible. Paul wrote to a specific church in Corinth to address a specific problem, spiritual gifts. The Corinthians were so gifted. They were amazing people. They loved the Lord, and it was genuine in their hearts. They were spiritually gifted with all sorts of gifts distributed among their assembly, but their services were full of disorder. 1 Corinthians 14 is critical to how we are expected to participate on a Sunday morning service, or how we engage at a midweek small group, or how we engage when students gather in this place on Friday evenings for youth. But it does not directly address what happens every day of our lives in our personal prayer lives. In other words, spiritual gift conversations are distinct from baptism and the Holy Spirit conversations. These are two separate topics. Yes, they're related to some degree, but they're two separate topics. And so in case you missed last week, I'm going to rewind for a second. I want to clarify, the speaking in tongues is not the evidence that one has the Holy Spirit residing in them. Okay? So if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit has taken up residence inside of you. Aren't you happy? It's good news. The evidence of that is the fruit of the Spirit. That's how we know. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. All of this that is said in Galatians, is that evident in your life? Then, speaking in tongues is not the evidence that one has the Holy Spirit working in and through them. The evidence is the gifts of the Spirit. So we have all been given wonderful gifts that we are to explore and to exercise whenever we gather as an assembly. Now, speaking in tongues is the initial evidence that someone has been baptized in the Holy Spirit. These are three distinct, separate events in our lives, but they're worked progressively throughout the course of our lives. And those who are baptized in the Spirit can now continue to make use of those tongues purposefully by praying in the Spirit. Now, that doesn't make tongues as a prayer language a very selfish act. I don't want you to misinterpret me here today. It simply limits the range of those who benefit. The person who benefits in this case is us, the individual. You can edify yourself. You can build yourself up through the power of the Holy Spirit by praying in tongues. As we continue to seek the Holy Spirit this morning, my prayer is not only that every person at WPA would be baptized with the Holy Spirit. If you haven't, keep on seeking. I believe that one day you will speak in tongues, but that we would also cultivate a vibrant prayer life of praying in the Spirit. Amen? So let's dedicate our time this morning to examining the Apostle Paul's teachings in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 1 to 4, and 14 to 19. The first point I want to share with you today is those who are baptized in the Holy Spirit are then, as they pray in the Spirit, they are sharing utter mysteries, utter mysteries. Verse 2, for anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people, but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. What does it mean to pray in the Spirit? Is it this internalization of our prayers without ever vocalizing them? No. Is it praying in English or in our native tongue with passion and with fervency? No, it's not that either. Praying in the Spirit is a method of prayer that the Holy Spirit enables in a believer to utter mysteries that God alone can comprehend. It's amazing. The best way I can illustrate it to you this morning is by reflecting on the linguistic development of an infant. I saw a lot of babies up here today, so I thought it'd be appropriate. Every child is not pre-wired with a command of the English language. Isn't that the case? We know that they're trying to communicate something. When they cry, they're trying to say something to us. I'm hungry, or I'm dirty in the sense. They're trying to say something to us. I'm upset. But they have yet to develop the shared system of communication with us. Wouldn't it be awkward today if a baby came up to you and it was already speaking? What would you do? I mean, I wouldn't be ready for that. An infant will spend his or her first years of life babbling as they discover the power of their voice and the meaning behind their speech. And it's not until the breakthrough moment where they say the word, what? Dada and mama, that everything changes. The learning curve all of a sudden accelerates, and sooner than later they're speaking and you can't stop them. My youngest boy, she can speak. She never stops speaking. My intention today is not to reduce tongues to a childish way of communicating or an inferior way of relating. My purpose is to say that any tongue, no matter what tongue it is an avenue of communication. In 1 Corinthians 14, Paul assumes this one simple thing. He assumes that people pray. He assumes that Christians pray. He expects us to vocalize our prayers using the human speech that we have in the languages that we know. When I pray with understanding, carefully choosing my words, I not only edify myself, but I edify any person who hears me praying or anybody who understands my language. But when I pray in the Spirit, when I pray in tongues, I edify myself as I speak to God. And the only way to describe this experience, friends, is as a mystery. There are some things we will never fully understand in this life. And when you get to heaven, you can ask God to reveal the mystery to you. But it's okay to have some mysteries in our life. It keeps us trusting in God. It keeps us relying on Him. You see, God in His omniscience, the fact that He knows all things, He knows every word before it is even spoken. Nothing is hidden from Him. Human mysteries are not divine mysteries. God knows all things. There's a beautiful partnership that exists between the praying human spirit and the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit does not override us. This is not an outer body experience. This is not something that takes total control of you and you have no control of yourself. You see, the Holy Spirit works in and through us. In particular, the Holy Spirit is at work when we are praying in tongues. Have you ever come to a point in your prayer life when you don't know how to pray? You don't know what to pray. The situation is so difficult. A moment when words are just not enough. Romans 8, 26 to 27 describes how praying in tongues can be useful in these situations. The scripture says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. Isn't it amazing how the Holy Spirit is interceding for us on our behalf to the Lord our God? It's amazing. In the most trivial moments of life, you can shift from praying with understanding to praying in the Spirit. It just happens. Be free. Allow God to speak through you. Allow the Holy Spirit to take control of your prayer life. And while it might not amount to words, but only to syllables, your prayer is reaching God who knows our heart and who knows the mind of the Spirit. Second point this morning is that the Holy Spirit enables us to edify ourselves, edifies themselves, the scripture says. Verse 4, anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves. But the one who prophesies edifies the church. We see a distinguishing of roles and responsibilities here. Paul's emphasis on the edification of the church should never discourage the believer from edifying themselves. No edification ever takes place without the Holy Spirit, okay? It's not something that we do to each other just for fun. It's something the Holy Spirit enables us to do. During my tenure as a pastor over the years, I have noticed how people go from week to week waiting for Sunday to come in order to be edified. You may be edified by the preaching of God's word today. Wonderful. You may be edified by the praises that we sing this morning. Wonderful. You may be edified by the fellowship that we will exchange with one another. Wonderful. You may be edified by spiritual gifts that are shared on occasion in the body of Christ. That's wonderful. But friends, that is once every 7 days. That's just not enough. And then we go home. We have this wonderful spiritual high of being on church on Sunday. It's awesome. We'll say, wasn't Sunday great? Monday hits, everything changes. We go home, we feel miserable for the next 6 days until Sunday comes around again. And this just becomes a cyclical pattern of behavior. It's not sufficient to be edified 52 days out of 365 days a year. It's just not enough. God enables us to self-care through the Holy Spirit. Isn't that amazing? That you can care for yourself, that you can edify yourself through the power of the Spirit that is alive and at work in you. We can be like David in 1 Samuel 30, verse 6, but David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. You can strengthen yourself, friends. In your weakest moments, we can pray in the Spirit and we can be uplifted all of a sudden. In our loneliest moments, we can pray in the Spirit and we can feel so near to God. Jude verses 20 to 21 gives us permission to edify ourselves. The scripture reads, but you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in the most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. See, praying in the Spirit is meant to keep you in God's love. Praying in the Spirit helps you wait for God's mercy. It is done privately, just as it can be done corporately. I still remember some of the early years of our married life, Kylie and I. When we first married, we attended and served at the English service of a Korean Presbyterian church for a short season of our lives. Don't let the name fool you for one second. This church was so charismatic. It was more charismatic than many of the Pentecostal churches that you and I have been in. And as the pastor would challenge the congregation to pray for God's help, to apply the sermon to our lives at the end of the service, he would invite us to stand. I remember Pastor Paul Ann used to do this. He'd get us to stand and we'd pray. We'd pray individually in the power of the Spirit. But at the same time, we'd be praying corporately. It's a beautiful thing. It's not uncommon practice in the Eastern world. And what resulted that day on a regular basis, every Sunday as we gathered, what resulted was a beautiful symphony of sound. I can't even describe to you with human words what it sounded like. It's passionate. It was prayerful, full of petitions made in tongues and also in English. And while this happened at a public meeting on a regular basis, we were all individually edifying ourselves. My point to all of this, do not wait to be at church in order to be edified, friends. You can do this on a regular basis. You can develop a vibrant prayer life. You can pray in the Spirit and you can edify yourself. You can be built up. Allow the Holy Spirit to minister in your private times. And with the Holy Spirit's help, friends, you can edify yourself daily. There's no end to it. Third point this morning is giving thanks, verses 16 to 19. Otherwise, when you are praising God in the Spirit, how can someone else who is now put in the position of an inquirer say, amen to your thanksgiving, since they do not know what you are saying? You're giving thanks well enough, but no one else is edified. I thank God, hear this, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. But in the church, I would rather speak 5 intelligible words to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. Big words here from the Apostle Paul. Praying in tongues is not some sort of gibberish that has no meaning whatsoever. While we may not understand the content of our tongues, Paul recognizes that the subject matter of tongues are prayers and praises of thanksgiving. You might not know what you're saying, but the content of what is being delivered to the Lord is thanksgiving from our hearts. Surely there is no end to our thanksgiving in view of God's mercy, in view of God's love, in view of God's grace and his worthiness. He's so worthy of our thanksgiving. In verse 14, we are encouraged to pray both in our spirit and with understanding, in tongues and in English, or our mother tongue. And there are not enough words in the human language to say thank you to God. Isn't that true? There's not enough ways that you and I can say thank you for the saving grace of God, for the cross of Calvary, for salvation. Praying in tongues can happen at the beginning. It can happen in the middle. It can happen at the end of our prayer times. It should not be a vocal warm-up, okay? It's not a spectacular finale. It's a normal part of the Spirit-baptized believer's prayer life. Praying in the Spirit extends our ability then to pray for longer periods of time. I believe it is the Holy Spirit that enables us to live out the admonition in 1 Thessalonians 5:16-19. Listen to the scripture today. Rejoice always, not sometimes, always. Pray continually. Don't stop praying. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And then we usually stop there, but I'm going to add it one more. Verse 19, do not quench the Spirit. It's all interconnected, friends. Don't quench the Spirit. We can easily misunderstand this to mean that our sole objective in life is to pray without ever working, to pray without ever enjoying our lives, to pray without ever sleeping. But that's not the case here. That's not what the Apostle Paul is really saying. I like how Donald Whitney has put it. He says, you're never more than just a thought away from praying. Be ready to turn anything, friends, anything into prayer. Pray in the Spirit about anything. Pray in the Spirit anywhere. Pray in the Spirit for anyone. It's very reassuring to know that Paul discloses to the Corinthians and to us today that he spoke in tongues. The Apostle Paul spoke in tongues. He's revealing that to us today in the scriptures. Not just a little, a lot. He spoke in tongues a lot. And in verse 18, he tells us that he speaks in tongues more than any of the Corinthians. He's saying, man, I do this all the time, 24/7. This is a part of my lifestyle. I pray in the Spirit. In Greek, 10,000 is the largest number. So we know why he's using that. It's meant to mean more than, it's an infinitous number, 10,000 and so much more. While 10,000 tongues of thanksgiving edify the believer in private, 5 intelligible words edify believers in public. Paul's statement is meant to give us an insider view into the spiritual vitality of his own personal life. I'm telling you, friends, Paul knew how to pray. In fact, he pens many of those prayers for us in the Bible. And if the epistles are a glimpse into what Paul wrote and what Paul said to the churches, just imagine all that Paul had prayed for these churches. I mean, he tells them, I'm praying for you. I care about you. I know that God's going to bless you. Friends, today Paul is teaching us that theology, a knowledge of God, leads us to doxology, giving glory to God. It's really simple. And if we misunderstand the role and the function of the Holy Spirit, we will withhold thanksgiving that God rightly deserves. This morning, I conclude with a simple scripture. I was thinking, how do I end this? This is a difficult topic to talk about. How do I make this simple for us to understand? I'm going to conclude with a simple portion of scripture, something that is familiar to many of you. You've heard it many times. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 13 to 18. And then I want to bring it to life with a live illustration. You know, I love live illustrations. Listen to the scripture today. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And usually, again, we stop there. But it continues. And pray in the Spirit. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds, not just one kind, with all kinds of prayers and requests. And with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. It's interesting to note that praying in the Spirit is included in this portion of scripture that talks about the armor of God. And we tend to gloss over verse 18 and we omit this vital piece because it's not associated with the physical piece of armor. We forget it. We just gloss over it. But after listing all the protective armor, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, feet fitted with the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, Paul then offers us two offensive weapons for warfare. The first is the sword of the Spirit. How many people have a Bible with them this morning? Some of you are going to raise your phones. I know this next generation. What an amazing Bible. It takes you on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. Hebrews 4:12 tells us the word of God, friends, the word of God is sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. We need to know the word of God. Secondly, though, is praying in the Spirit. The power is in our tongue. The power is in the word. But the power is also in our tongue. And we have all the other armor, but without being spirit baptized, we are missing this weapon. Therefore, Paul assumes that believers should be baptized in the Holy Spirit. He's making that assumption. That's why he's saying it to the Ephesians. And while Ephesians 6 predates the technological advancements that we have in our military today, the technology that we have and utilize, the Holy Spirit provides believers with air support. That's what he does. The Holy Spirit gives us air support. Both of these weapons are rooted in the Holy Spirit. It's the sword of the Spirit. It's prayer in the Spirit. Whereas the sword of the Spirit is in God's inspired word, praying in the Spirit are Spirit-inspired words. Dan, are you ready for takeoff? Get ready, friends. Here we go. See, when we pray in the Spirit, it's like having communication with a drone in the sky. And we receive, I don't know what Dan's doing. He might be getting too close. Let me know. I don't want to take off a year. Listen, when we receive a 360 degree aerial view of the battle, which gives us victory. God gives us perspective rather than our limited perspective. We have air support. How are you doing today, friends, in the midst of the spiritual battles in your life? How are you doing in the midst of the battles of this church? Perhaps we're losing some battles because we're missing the critical offensive weapon of praying in the Spirit. Church, I'm always encouraging you to be theologically vital, to know how to use the sword of the Spirit, your Bible. And that's really important. Thanks, Dan. I'm assuming all is okay. Amen. I knew you'd like it. I knew you'd like it. See, I've been teaching you for 2.5 years now to make this the final authority in your life. And you do. You're growing that. You're growing in your ability to take God's word and to read it and to memorize it and to pray it and to reflect on it. And I'm so proud of you for that. But friends, we need to do something as well in addition to that. I want to encourage you today to be spiritually vital, not just theologically vital. I want you to know how to pray in the Spirit. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is not just a spiritual milestone that we celebrate where you can say, I got it. I'm good for life. I don't need anything else. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is simply the prerequisite for a lifetime of praying in the Spirit. My question to you today, is there anyone here today who needs a little bit more help in the midst of the battle that they're facing today? Anybody here need a little bit more help? Why don't you raise your hand? Don't be ashamed. If you need a little bit more help, I want to encourage you today to be open to the things of the Holy Spirit, to seek the baptism of the Holy Spirit, to learn how to pray in the Spirit. It's time to pray in the Spirit and to call for the Spirit's air support. Friends, don't stop seeking the baptism. Don't stop seeking being refilled by the Holy Spirit. Start to pray in the Spirit on all occasions. Praying in the Spirit is a weapon. My question is, are you using it? Let's pray.